The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number three of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, Sirius XM channel 158. So many ways to take us in. We're just glad you're choosing one of them.
That's right.
Gil Alexander, that's Kelly Bidlin. I have to say for yourself, rolling in here after a bathroom break here, right as the clock is going to zero. You got that down pretty solid.
Yeah.
Well done.
Yeah, the crew usually judges me on my pace, you know, from the bathroom back here. But that was a slow, leisurely walk this time.
Have you ever made it through a 3-hour show without going to the restroom?
Yeah, that's rare though.
Rare. Yeah,
I'd say once a month, something like that.
Joe Sheehan going to join us once a month. Joe Sheehan going to join us this hour. I'm going to ask the first question to Joe coming up.
What?
You're a baseball guy, right? You know baseball.
4 outs?
More, yeah. Were you aware of what was going on last night in the moment? We'll see what he says.
Mm-hmm.
We get tweets at Beating the Book. JC at JC 562076. Titter, the tip, and late night doctor's appointments. We're so back. Welcome back, Gil. Thank you. It took a day to get in the groove again.
It was only funny because it happened right after clarifying just the tip.
Matthew Mayberry, when you go to Titter, especially don't click the tab, just the tip. Yeah, no, I know. Mako, just the tip inducing Gil into the Freudian slip of Titter instead of Twitter was amazing.
Yep.
And Keith Kadakia, just go on the Titter, huh? Ben McGovern, I'm sorry. But the NFL is by far more confusing to explain to people. Oh, stop it. He says, just start by trying to explain what a catch is. Oh, yeah, there's that. Then after the 30 minutes, you finally get to illegal procedure, alignment, and PI penalties. I'll take explaining the infield fly rule any day. Ben, I respectfully disagree. There's nothing more impossible to explain than baseball.
You know what? I'm tired of this argument, actually, because like if you get anybody not from the United States, good luck with either one of those.
Yeah, but football, at least you can say... You got 4 plays to make 10 yards. On the 4th one, you sort of decide, do you want to go for it or not? If you don't, you punt it. Then all the other stuff, catch has been a problem, but you learn all the penalties relatively quickly. There's no exceptions to rules within rules.
I feel like I hear you say this more than anybody, though. Like it's the nature of like starting and stopping that's just so odd, especially for a European audience. Of the like, okay, it's first down, and okay, this didn't work. Everybody come back, and we're going to go to second down.
Yeah, but that doesn't make it tough to explain. Anyway, I'll die on this hill. Baseball is by far the hardest to explain.
I mean, I would agree with you, but...
Montreal Max, enjoying our 4 days in Toronto with Benchish Sunday night and tonight, along with that bizarre delay in the Red Sox-Jays last night, and Belinda will get more crowd support tonight as it's still cold here on Americans, but Iga gets the most support from a 200,000 Polish pop population here.
Okay. Hmm.
Interesting breakdown. And Roman Dago, he says, gotta be honest, I was hoping Gil and Drew would briefly discuss the GM situation in North Carolina.
You know what?
That's the VSiN plus subscription. Drew and I have those conversations all the time.
I did read that tweet coming back from the restroom, but I was like, what did the Panthers GM do? I missed that news.
Not that.
Not that one.
Nope.
Not that one. Hey, more preseason.
Please.
Not really line movement, but Zach Taylor confirming that Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, and Dexter Lawrence will all play in the preseason opener. The Bengals, already huge favorites, though. They are 7-point favorites. This has not moved. They were 7-point favorites before that announcement. Remain 7-point favorites against the Lions on Thursday.
So you remember Zach Taylor did this last year, too. Remember, mm-hmm. the Bengals were the team where they didn't play anybody in the preseason, and so they decided to switch it up last year?
Yep. Because remember their terrible starts to seasons.
Correct.
Everybody was going nuts about it.
That's exactly right, Kelly. That terrible starts to season. So they figured, hey, maybe play these guys more in the preseason. Well, guess what? They're still 1-9-1 straight up in their last 11 preseason games. So there you go.
Yeah.
Enjoy that. Hey, beyond the preseason, which again begins in earnest. We had the Hall of Fame game, but week one of NFL preseason, of the 3-week arc of NFL preseason begins... on Thursday, we talked a lot about preseason betting tenets yesterday.
I'm pumped.
But how about firing. And we talked a lot about travel. In case you missed it, a deep dive into Australia travel.
Very well
with the
done
Rams and the Niners. Thank you very much.
Yeah, that was great stuff.
Let's talk about NFL Week One starting quarterback odds. You can bet on these. Bet 365 has these.
Bet365, FanDuel's had some up. I got to give Bet365 more love, though, because they do great golf markets, do great NFL, and I just don't go there as often. When you talk about the Kelly scouring, I just don't head there right away.
Yeah. A lot of these are not bettable, let's be honest. But you can see we'll show these. NFL Week 1 starting quarterbacks. The Chiefs, for instance, Patrick Mahomes expected to start Week 1. He's -1,000. Remember, this is the first snap.
Mm-hmm.
So if they go Wildcat or something, you're screwed. Raiders, Kirk Cousins expected to start, -900 over Fernando Mendoza. And the Vikings, Kyler Murray still expected to start. He's -1,200.
I was just going to say, I'm just going to bring up how you and I kind of first talked about one of the ways to utilize Kalshi when we first started.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think these numbers are steep enough, Gil.
No, I don't either.
We've had the Raiders tell us that that Kirk Cousins is their starter for training camp. Okay, I think we'd assume that means it's going to translate over to the regular season. I don't know, -900 is steep enough. Just, okay, maybe you don't have to make a huge bet. Make a smaller bet, pick up a few pennies as you head into the NFL season. I don't think there's any world that we're living in where Kyler Murray doesn't start for the Minnesota Vikings. I don't know if you've caught some of those stories, but apparently they're running like the old playbook with J.J. McCarthy and a completely new playbook with Kyler Murray and trying to say these guys are splitting reps with the first team. And it's like, kind of have a feeling the guy running a new playbook is probably going to get the call.
What's the explanation for why J.J. is running the old one?
Just because it's more suited to his style. I'm going to guess less. There's less running and things involved.
Hmm. Well,
I actually think those are the two we've heard.
Finishing your thought, because I don't think you finished it, which is as a bankroll building mechanism.
I would lay both of those.
Yeah, and I agree with you. Then there is the case of the Cleveland Browns, where we alluded to this yesterday. We talked about it a little bit. Deshaun Watson is not nearly as high as those other would-be starters on the other teams. Deshaun Watson's -300 for the Cleveland Browns. Shedeur Sanders is +230. Then you see Dillon Gabriel and Talen Green rounding out the quartet of Brown quarterbacks on their roster right now, on their depth chart. But you were saying yesterday, and this is widely reported, Deshaun not looking good on the practice field, to say the least. Do you really believe, would you bet Shedeur Sanders? I just could not bring myself.
Okay, so this is
I couldn't bring myself to do this.
No, me either. And look, I'm talking that confidently about these other teams, right? Rewind 3 months ago. I'm shocked this is even a conversation. I really thought it was going to be Deshaun Watson. This one is worth tracking. Whether you're a Cleveland backer for the season, Todd Monken was, he was put under the gun a bit yesterday from the press of having to answer a lot of these questions because he didn't really have a good explanation of why Deshaun Watson all of a sudden ended up taking all of the first team snaps starting last weekend. I believe it was on Saturday. He took over all the first team snaps, took them all through the weekend when he had been struggling so much before that and splitting the reps with Shedeur. And then he kind of came out and was like, we just changed our minds last minute. Shedeur is going to get the first team looks today. So apparently he did yesterday. Gil, it sounds like it's much more of a real battle than I would have thought it was going to be.
Oh, I definitely did not anticipate this at all. Because I was definitely in the camp of, you paid him $230+ million guaranteed, talking about Deshaun Watson. It hasn't, just to say that it hasn't worked out would be the understatement of all time. But here on the back end, you want to just try to milk whatever you can out of him. So obviously you're going to just force him in. There's not going to be a question about this. No issue with Shedeur holding the clipboard, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently if you stink enough in practice, this goes into doubt.
Well, and the money's gone, right?
It's gone.
It's not like you're getting any of it back. So and you're right. For a long time, I didn't think this way either.
Sunken funds.
I didn't think this way either for a long time. I thought like that, but you're like, okay, if Shedeur's beating him out, there's no reason that you would say we have to play this guy. The money's gone. So I don't know. I think it's really fascinating to watch. My God, Deshaun Watson, though. What happened? What happened?
Well, remember also this, people can also scoff at these markets, but remember Kelly and I were doing these a month and a half ago, 2 months ago even. And remember we showed Atlanta and Tua and Penix were neck and neck. And you could have bet Tua at that point at a really reasonable number. But now as the season has gotten, a month away, people kind of realize, well, there will be no Penix. So, but you could have bet that at a very reasonable number. So there is value in these if you time them correctly. And if you sort of, in the case of that Atlanta one, you sort of said, what are people seeing here? Why would they ever, even if Penix was ready to go, why would they rush him back? Why would they, and we're not talking about this after the fact because we talked about it at the time. I'm just sort of addressing anybody who would scoff at betting these, regardless of what the limits are.
Kirk Cousins, you got it, could have gotten it minus 200 on May 7th.
Yeah.
Just looking at
what was Tua back then?
I luckily had this right in front of me. Minus 125 on that exact date.
Yeah, minus 125. Because the point is, even if Penix was technically ready to go, why would you risk bringing him back quickly when you made the acquisition of Tua to begin with? And also, there's that thing of think about how the trajectory of this will go. If you start Penix and he falters, then you ruin the kid's confidence even more than it might be, because I don't know what's going on in his head at this point, versus let Tua fall, so to speak, right, on his own game, and then bring in the kid with the, you know, the Batman cape on.
Right, yeah. It was, I'm looking at others. We had the Cardinals was up June 9th, minus 295 you could have laid on Jacoby Brissett.
Yeah.
Like, that's off the board now. You can't even bet.
Anyway, got to time these right. And inevitably, look, I know, because there's going to be somebody out there who's like, and you're right, meth. Chances are one of these 32 favorites is going to get hurt, right? Can we get through a whole preseason without any starting quarterback getting hurt? Doubtful. But obviously, we don't know where that's going to happen. And if you're betting on that kind of speculation, right, probably doing this wrong. Joe Sheehan, MLB's got a bevy of picks next. You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Football season right around the corner. That means if you peer around the corner, you'll see it.
Right around that, but at that corner is Little League World Series players standing in your way.
Oh, that's right. Just like the players, you need your reps before week one. The Sharps has a free weekly league that lets you practice the same football plays you already study. Props, sides, totals, combos. Everyone starts with 10,000 chips. Build your stack, climb the leaderboard, and sharpen your reads before the season kicks off. Enter at jointhesharps.com or scan the QR code on the screen and use code VSIN50 for a 50% deposit bonus up to $100. That's jointhesharps.com and use promo code VSIN50. Skill Alexander. Usually before this next guest is on, I read 13 tweets, I believe was the correct number.
13.
But I'll do him the favor of just reading two today. Okay. Bobby Geddes. I am equally as happy winning the Red Sox July bet as I am that the Red Sox will now always have a spot in Gil's heart. Welcome to being a Sox fan. Thank you. He said, I used my winnings for my Circa entries, so perfect timing. Yes, I will be using my winnings for Circa entries as well.
Bobby was hanging out here for like a week last week, pretty sure. Pretty sure he hung out with everybody at VSiN.
Oh, yeah.
Hit every panel.
I think Will told me he met Bobby Geddes. I believe it was Will.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The Sox will always have a place in my heart. You are absolutely right about that. And Corbin, woke up this morning and tried to wrap my brain around the baseball debacle and wonder why the MLB can't seem to grow the game with amazing rules like these. Almost as confusing as someone trying to explain the college baseball brackets. Common thing here. Let's start with that, with our next guest, Joe Sheehan, joining us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter at @Joe_Sheehan, the author of the Joe Sheehan newsletter at joesheehan.com. He's got a bunch of picks for us. But Joe, first of all, hello. Welcome to the program.
I want to know who narked on my joke.
Who? What's that?
Who told you about the tweets? Who narked on me?
Oh, I can't say. I cannot say, Joe. Maybe I'll tell you off air. I have to ask you, though, that you're a baseball hardo. You love baseball. You know baseball. Would you have known, or did you know if you were watching it live, did you understand what was going on in the moment in the strange scenario last night at Fenway?
No. And I actually stayed up all night studying and looking at the play because I have four or five media hits today and everybody's going to ask me about it. So I had to get to an answer. In the end, they actually did make the right call, even if it feels wrong. Yes. And just to, I know we don't have video here, but first and third, one out, but everybody thinks it's two outs. Fly ball, Red Sox runners run because they think it's two outs. Play made. Blue Jays double up the runner at first, but they don't make a play on the runner at third. And basically, because they left the field without appealing at third base or making a play on the runner at third base, that runner, as long as he crossed the plate before the out at first was made, as a legally scores. Now, it doesn't sound fair. The Red Sox made an egregious base, two egregious base running errors, and they get the run anyway. But by the book, the Blue Jays had to make a play on the runner at third, either directly or on appeal, for them to get that out. Because the run crossed the plate before the third out was made, the run counts.
It becomes a timing play at that point. It's fascinating because all of us who have watched a bajillion baseball games, it sort of goes against our baseball instinct. And then I guess I'm just thinking about this now. If you've watched this many baseball games, as we all have, the fact that I don't remember ever seeing that ever before is also amazing then, right? Like, of all the games, I've never seen that happen before. And what I was saying to Kelly earlier, and I don't know if this helped, but it helped me a little bit, is I think it would have felt more natural if it was the ball that was trapped in the outfield. Then it would have felt more natural. Like, oh, I get it. And, you know, then they should have appealed, but they walked up. But since it was so routine, it seemed odd. I think that was part of
Had the Blue Jays made a play at third, it would have been the fourth out of the inning. And there is a rule on the books that allows a fourth out to over supersede what happened before, and the run would not have scored. A fourth out play, I want to say, happens maybe every 4 or 5 years, you know, a couple of times a decade. Apparently, there was a similar play when John Schneider, the Blue Jays manager, was managing in the minor leagues. This actually did come up in, you know, 10 years ago when he was managing in A ball. So, you know, maybe he should have known, you know, yeah. But it is a very rare play. It is an edge case in the rule book. And while the umpires got it right, it's definitely one of those where you're like, did they really?
Yeah. Well, it makes me feel better that you or Jensen Lewis, who precedes us on the air, played at the highest level in the majors. Neither would have sort of picked up on it like instantaneously. Red Sox go on to lose 2-1, even with that run counting. They've lost 3 in a row. And as Kelly said earlier, they suck.
They suck. Yeah. Get it together.
Get it together, Red Sox. Sorry about this, Joe. We just did a whole thing on who's starting starting quarterback first week of the season. Adam Schefter reporting just at this moment, the Vikings have named Kyler Murray their starting quarterback. So there you go. I assume that means for the regular season.
I would assume that.
Okay. So there you go. Let's talk baseball. Let's go to your bevy of picks. Pirates are at the Marlins. Which way are you going here?
And before we start, let me just make the point, Gil. These are all sides and a couple of futures. I'm not betting totals anymore. And there's been some really good research done over the last couple of weeks. Ballpark Pal, who your guy Steve Fezzik has brought up on the show before, looked into the performance of the baseball coming off the bat. This isn't drag issues. This is actually coefficient of restitution, how hard the ball comes off the bat. And there's definitely something that's been going on with the ball since the break. So I don't play totals right now. With all of the machinations with the baseball this year, I don't think totals are playable at this point. So these are all going to be sides, starting with Paul Skenes against the Marlins tonight down in Miami. There's been all this conversation about Skenes. He hasn't pitched well. The ERA, the baseline numbers, are really bad. But when you look underneath, you see that there's a two-run gap between his ERA and his FIP over the last couple of months. The last four starts, he's given up a .444 batting average on balls in play. He's pitching fine. You look at the strikeouts, you look at the strikeout to walk ratio, and he's somebody I want. If I'm getting him at -112, I think that's a steal. Skenes is actually just as good as he was a year ago. He's just getting crushed on balls in play, and that's mostly about the Pirates' defense and luck.
Let's go to the Yankees and the Mariners. Yankees, we talked about a little earlier with Borchard. I just feel like they're always the team that has reinforcements coming, right? Whether it's starting pitching, whether it's, of course, the looming specter for the rest of the league of Aaron Judge. When will Aaron Judge come back is the real question. They seem like at full strength, they're still the best team in the American League, despite not helping at catcher or at relief pitcher before the trade deadline. You've got them today against the Mariners?
It's mostly because of that starting pitching depth. Just an incredible rotation. When we get to the playoffs, they'll have Carlos Rodon back as well. You're talking about a team that goes six starters deep. They'll have Ryan Weathers going tonight against the Mariners. The Mariners are a bottom five team in baseball against left-handers. Neither one of these teams is scoring a lot in the last month or so. The Mariners have had issues all year. Their best hitters, Julio Rodriguez, Cal Raleigh, and Josh Naylor just haven't shown up this year. The Yankees... You know, it's not a good lineup, but I think it's going to be a little bit better against Brian Wu. Wu has a large home road split this year, but like Skeens overall, it's mostly BABIP. So I wouldn't put too much on that, but we've got both of these teams coming off an off day. I think that's an edge for the Yankees, who have the deeper bullpen. So a lot of reasons to take the Yankees. It's at a small number tonight.
A's gacked the game in a big way to the Rays last night, gave up an 8-run frame to take a 4-run lead to a 4-run deficit. They lose 10-6, but they would have won on first five for bettors at plus money. You're taking them first five today at plus money against the Rays.
Yeah, they've been a little competitive for half a game, sometimes the second half, sometimes the first half. They took two from the Red Sox over the weekend. I think that Nick Martinez has been way over his head. You look at the gap between his ERA and his underlying numbers, and that hasn't been very good. He's somebody who has typically been fly ball prone and homer prone, and that hasn't been the case this year. Put him in Sutter Health Park tonight. I think Mason Barnett can hold down the Rays, who aren't a particularly good offensive team, in this park tonight. And again, I'm getting a good plus number on a team that, you know, is facing a pitcher who is a bad fit for Sutter Health. So give me the A's at plus 140 for five innings. Just hold on.
And Brewers over the Padres at Petco tonight.
Yeah, they lost a tough one last night because they basically had no bullpen available. They let Logan Henderson pitch into the seventh, which is not, you know, that's an off-label use of Logan Henderson. He gave up the lead in the seventh. Tonight, they get a fresh bullpen back. We'll see, maybe Abner Uribe isn't available, but everybody else will. You've got a better starting matchup with Kyle Harrison going against Walker Buehler. So I think the Brewers could win this one from the front with Harrison out pitching Buehler. And I think they can win this from the back with a good bullpen performance. So give me the Brewers tonight.
All right, make me smile with your futures. What do you got here, Joe?
Listen, I keep thinking about our buddy Paul Sporer, who was on here about a month ago, talking about how not only would the Tigers win the division, they would win it going away. And I kind of laughed at the time. I was going to reach out to him, but I let it go. And now I think he was ahead of all of us. The Tigers now plus 410 to win the division, plus 7,000 to win the World Series. I think a piece of both of those makes sense because the division, look, they're still the best team in that division. And you said yesterday, you know, they would go for it. They didn't really go for it. They traded their best two pitchers, starting pitchers, but they do have some depth. They're going to get some hitters back. I still worry about the bullpen, but they're just chasing teams like the White Sox. You've got the Guardians and Twins in that mix. They're just better than. They give me the Tigers to win the division at plus 410. And then if they get into the postseason, I think they got as good a chance as anyone else. And 70-1 is a big number.
Yeah, I distinguish it from 2 years ago when they traded Flaherty. Then they really weren't going for it and they made the playoffs. This year, I think they still had an eye on it. They still figured we can still do this even if we do the responsible thing. That was the distinction. Thank you, Joe. Appreciate it.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Football is back, and some of the best betting opportunities of the year start with the NFL preseason. Sign up for the VSiN Pro, or sign up for VSiN Pro, I should say, today. Get both our NFL and college football betting guides, packed with team previews, power ratings, proven betting systems, best bets from VSiN's sharpest minds to help you bet football smarter all season long. You also get daily best bets, real-time betting splits, AI-powered prop projections, including our new MLB player props and totals picks, plus 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. Start today for just $9.99. Get a full year and save 50% with a VSiN Pro annual subscription. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin in the hizzy here. In case you missed it before the break or during the Joe Sheehan segment, we were rude to Joe, but it popped up on our screen because we had just done Week one starting quarterbacks. Kyler Murray will be confirmed the Vikings starting quarterback week one. Nothing surprising about that, but it is confirmed now by Adam Schefter. He will be the fourth different week one starting quarterback for the Vikings in the last four seasons. That is not optimal.
Not great.
Not great.
But not a problem for Kevin O'Connell. You know?
Not great, Bob.
He's got this all figured out. Sam Darnold winning ball games for them. We were talking about some of the odds and how these can be good bets. Just pulled up some of the ones from years past. How about August 3rd, 2025 is when we had this conversation, Gil. Colts week one starter.
Anthony Richardson minus 245 and Daniel Jones plus 186.
Now refresh my memory. Daniel Jones started week one?
Yeah, he did, and he played pretty dang well for a few weeks.
When did the band incident happen with Anthony Richardson?
That was middle of October. It's actually later than I thought.
Middle of October. Now, here's the thing. Obviously, Daniel Jones had the great start to last year. I couldn't remember if Anthony Richardson started a game. But Anthony Richardson, you were just saying this. We were just talking about this off air. A year, and we're almost a year later, right? It's 10 months later.
Mm-hmm.
Is still having vision problems from that band snapping back and hitting him in the eye. What did your mom always say? You could have lost an eye. Like he legitimately could have.
Yeah.
And he's still having vision problems. Like we have not talked about that incident enough. Wow. It is just, it's.
I feel like you and I
don't want to use the word tragic, but it like could be.
It could be. Yeah. I feel like you and I have, just because you and I are, but we're both amazed from when it happened to now. I'm just, every time I see anybody using one of those, I'm like, this is an accident waiting to happen. Like this is going to snap. And like, you know, they're going to lose hold of it. It's going to hit you right in the face, right in the eye.
Was it hinged to something, or would you have both arms on it?
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. But yeah, there's an article from Yahoo. This is 3 days ago. Like him talking about him still struggling with that. That's been another odd camp saga, I guess, with the Colts and the backups. Because there was, remember, I mean, it was, what, 2 or 3 months ago that there was, I can't remember if it was Anthony Richardson demanded a trade or they were, like, agreed on a trade was going to happen. He's still there. And then, like, early reports was that he was playing pretty dang well and had, like, clearly taken the backup job. But then the recent reports are him and Riley Leonard are locked in a battle for the number two spot.
If Josh Allen and Anthony Richardson were in a fight, who would you root for?
Oh, Josh Allen, for sure. Come on.
He loves them both.
Anthony
so much.
Richardson was like a one-year flirt. You know what I mean?
One-year flirt.
I did have an MVP ticket on Anthony Richardson, though, like 2 years ago.
I remember.
Bets that will never be forgotten. Anthony Richardson.
Still
MVP.
Not as good as our Taulia Tagovailoa Heisman.
That was an all-timer. That one was an all-timer.
Our primetime action, Taulia Tagovailoa. And he proceeds to go out on a Thursday night and throw three picks in the first half.
What I love about that one is it's right up there. It's not quite as good, but the timing's better. It's right up there with the Will Hill Rutgers to win the Big Ten tournament basketball. And we're like, Dylan Harper, Ace Bailey, lock it in. 200-1.
No, I thought you were going to bring up the Cody Bellinger home run in the World Series in the 2020, where you were worried about his shoulder. You're like, shoulder's fine.
Me handicapping baseball. Like, how can his anytime, what did I bet? Was it anytime home run?
I can't remember, but he like, just,
it's like under total bases or under RBI or something. I'm like, he's battling back from this shoulder injury. How do they have this line?
We're
and then just
on
jacks
it.
One out
live.
Of the park.
Kelly goes, shoulder's fine.
He had separated his shoulder. It was like the game before.
Yeah.
Right? Wasn't that what it was?
They didn't know if he was going to be available.
They popped it back in and went and played. I'm like, I'm betting every under. No way.
Tweets at Beanie the Book, Brian P. Hey, Gil, didn't this happen in Field of Dreams, the fourth out? And then the kid turned into a doctor or something? Love the show, guys. Keep it up. Thank you. Thank you, Brian P. Field of Dreams, not something. Just Field of Dreams versus Moneyball. Field of Dreams is not something I watch over and over. I know a lot of people love Field of Dreams. They think it's the best baseball movie ever. For me, it's Moneyball, just because there's so many great, sneaky lines and scenes in there.
Oh, man. Wait. You would say that's the best baseball movie ever?
No, for me, it's Moneyball. No, I'm not saying it's the best ever. I'm just saying Moneyball, to me, is eminently rewatchable.
No, I completely agree with you. Yeah. I completely agree. Field of Dreams is great, but you're right. Like,
yeah, I'm not trying to watch that again.
It's from the rewatchability. I've probably seen Moneyball more times than Field of Dreams.
Yeah, and Moneyball has such a like an important place in my life for handicapping
right,
that. And it's just so many of the do we care how he gets on base? Jonah Hill's like, you do not.
When I point to you, it means you can answer.
Do I speak to him? You do not. Okay. Oh, I want to talk about this tweet. I was gonna wait till Todd was on tomorrow. Todd wished I was gonna join us tomorrow. But all the reports from Bet Bash were spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
Like I wasn't at Bet Bash. But I got so many tweets about people who were there, and it just felt like to me people enjoyed Bet Bash in a way this year, at least the people that I'm closest to, as like greater than they even did in previous years. Like people were really having a good time with people. They were there to learn. They took it seriously, with one exception, which was Fezzik. Fezzik had a tout ethics seminar.
Yeah.
So a friendly neighborhood capper has tweeted me. He goes, my understanding is Todd Wishnev caught some strays at Bet Bash. Todd's appearances on VSiN are amazing. He does such a good job of explaining live betting strategy and the math behind it. Categorizing him as a square better or a sleazy tout is baseless. So I don't know if they categorized him as a sleazy tout, but someone who was on stage there with Fezzik immediately like mocked and dismissed Todd and legitimately used the words, look at him. Meaning commenting on like apparently his appearance equates with he can't possibly be this good. Now, let me explain. I will be the first to admit I am very protective of my friend Todd Wishnev. I, Kelly, am the only one that was allowed to make fun of Todd. No, I'm super protective of Todd. Todd had a 187 unit positive college basketball betting season. And by the way, these aren't like tout things. Todd doesn't sell anything. These are not tout numbers where you're playing two stars and three stars. These were all by one unit that he was plus 187. So by tout currency, right, it's like he had a 374 unit positive season.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But some guy goes on stage and immediately dismisses him and also adds, or someone else added in the audience, I'm not sure, you could only get 5% of his plays. And Mike Palm, then apparently on our air, goes on and corroborates that, hating on it. All y'all need to stop with this BS. Like the biggest, I have so many pet peeves with the sports betting corner of the world, but maybe my single biggest one is nobody can seem to give credit to anybody else. Mm-hmm. And it just, I don't know what it is about the DNA of sports bettors, not all, but a ridiculously large percentage of people who don't have the grace and the humility and the decency to actually praise someone when they do something outlandish. By the way, the day that you, talking to all these people, the day that you have a plus 187 unit anything, I'll wait. Get back to me. What Todd did was unbelievable. And by the way, you can get, I wasn't even there on some nights, right, following his plays. But even if you're sort of casually in the Discord and you have outs in front of you and you're paying attention, let's be conservative. You could get 50% of them. No problem.
Well, that's usually the way Todd sets it up, yes. Too, right? It's
and no one's saying you're going to get all of them. No one is making that claim. But to belittle him, first of all, by appearance, that's just ridiculous. Let's just stop with that, right? That prejudice. But to then act like, how can I come up with another way to be dismissive of a guy who did so well? Oh, I know. I'll go with this narrative that you could only get 5% of his plays. Just shut up. Like, it just drives me crazy that people are that petty in this corner of the world. Anyway, I wasn't going to bring it up, but the tweet came up, so I had to. It drives me nuts, dude.
Yeah, he was, Fez was on with Dustin and myself before he went over to the panel, but I didn't catch any of that because it was on while we were on air. Yeah. Like it was on 9 o'clock hour on Friday. So yeah, that was going on. I've only heard a couple secondhand stories about it.
Chris Heath, Costner is in two other sports movies better than Field of Dreams. Oh, Tin Cup has to be one of them.
Tin Cup. Ooh, yeah.
What's the other?
Tin Cup's a better movie, you're right.
Yeah, Tin Cup's better. Field of Dreams is a beautiful thing, but I'll go back to the Brad Pitt line as Billy Bean. Who's not romantic about baseball?
And what was the other?
It's hard not to be romantic about baseball. What was the Benito, or not Benito?
Bull Durham.
A Benicio del Toro at the end of Traffic in the pool when he's wired goes, who doesn't love baseball? Same sort of sentiment there.
Costner's done a million sports movies.
Oh, he sure has.
Draft Day.
But I'm trying to think. What's,
for the love of the was, game, Bull Durham.
Bull Durham.
That's probably what
Bull
he's talking
Durham
about.
The other one. We'll recap the bets. Race to 40 regular season home runs. We'll touch on that after the break as well, where it's close between Schwarber, Alvarez, and Caminero. Also, Hunter Goodman. Not to be outdone. One home run separates all four of those guys. That's next on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game. Un partido de números. Live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas, Gil Alexander, Kelly Midland.
Yo!
Producer number 9, so much more than a producer. By the way, I say that now, and people get mad at me for saying it. but it was always a numbers game tradition for me to count producers.
Yeah.
And it wasn't meant any way.
Yeah, you know I've never taken it anyway. But I understand.
But now maybe I should lose it.
Appreciate the people out there. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We get tweets beating the book. This is Brian M. Animal House, he said, immediately came to mind when I said, only I can make fun of Todd. It's apparently only we can do that to our pledges in Animal House. Patrick Kelly, Moneyball. Do I care how he gets on base? You do not. Todd Wishnev is awesome, he says. For me, do I care how I win? No, I do not. And I will credit wherever credit is due. If credit is desired, nor will I blame because it's on me. No, and he doesn't require credit. I'm just defending the BS.
And I've gotten close to pulling the trigger a couple times in the past couple weeks on Moneyball. You're going to make me watch Moneyball now in the next day or two.
Well, here's one from Kevin. Is it Mole? Kevin Mole or Kevin Mole? Mole, mole, mole.
That's what I was going to Mole, mole.
Mole, mole. Agree on Moneyball rewatchability. Best exchange. Hattie, you want me to replace Giambi? What about the fans? And Ron Washington, yeah, maybe I could teach one of them. That's a great scene. Brad Pitt.
You know what I hate? Yeah. What I hated was that's one of those movies. Don't go watch real interviews afterward and what's true and what's not.
No.
Because of course that's the one scene you're praying is partially true, right? It's just nowhere close. What do they show up at his house like on Christmas Eve night or whatever? Like just a complete logical situation.
Or like Dave Justice, a later career Dave Justice is on that A's team.
Oh, I love that scene in the batting cage.
Not the batting cage one, but he's trying to be a leader now because Billy Bean, that's played by Brad Pitt, is trying to, you know, suggest to him that he should be more of a team leader. And so he says to Hatterberg, who's really at the center of Moneyball in real life and in the movie, played by, what's that actor's name? Chris?
Pratt.
Pratt. He says, what's your greatest fear? Because he's got anxiety. He goes, I don't know, a ball hitting my general direction. He goes, you're funny. No, really. He goes, no, that's really it.
That's he's right. Like, good luck with that. Remember the batting cage? And Brad Pitt goes in and was like, hey, we kind of need your leadership, right? Like, that's what we brought you in here for. And David Justice kind of being all cocky. Like, no, he brought me in here because I'm a big time player and you're paying me like that. Brad Pitt, no. The Yankees are paying you like that. Paying you to do this.
Yankees are paying you half your salary, half for you to play against them.
To play against them. That's right. God, that was a great scene.
Torch D, the one who put the satin in your panties, says, I literally would have fought someone over this Todd Wishnev comments at Bet Bash. Are you kidding me? He's giving out these plays for free and he kills it. WTF does appearance have to do with betting? Thank you. Two drinks in. Thank you, Gil, for standing up for Todd. I could only listen every now and then to the Discord, but I had at least a 65% ability to hit the number he posted. Also, if you're like Fezzik, you can take a derivative of his play and still make money. And sometimes you get a better number than Todd also. Bondplate, pretty pissed hearing how Todd was treated in Vegas. Lame. I can only speak from my experience. Todd helped me build a model and taught me a ton about attacking college basketball in-game. A lot of what I use today came from those lessons. Nothing but respect for Todd Wishnev. Montreal Max. I'll have to read through that later. I don't know what he's saying there. Okay. Bets. Belinda Bencic, for me today, is my tennis play. This is in Toronto. This is the back half of the quarters in the 1,000 tournament in Toronto. The men are in Montreal. They're playing all their quarters today on the men's side. Again, 1,000 is just a notch below the slams. They go from Canada to Cincinnati and then to the U.S. Open. I'm on Bencic. Belinda Bencic, plus 140 versus Coco in the semi. That's 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific today.
Just going to look that up.
Thank you. And Tigers' most wins in August, 60-1. They were idle last night, but they got a three-game set at home against the Guardians, three-game set at home against the White Sox after that, as they look to move up in the division and in the wild card race. They're only a game out, I believe, in the wild card race. At least that was it before yesterday. Think it's still a game out. 10-point teaser are also, I hesitated. I didn't know if I wanted to put this up on the screen because, again, these are the availability of these as a preseason function, as a preseason betting tool, is getting worse and worse every year. But I still found one offshore. I paid -130 on this. Dolphins, Commanders over 25.5. Buccaneers, Jets over 26. Rams, Chiefs over 26.5. Just something we do in the preseason every year if you can still find them. You, sir.
Yeah, preseason week one bets for me added the Packers plus one today. They have moved to like 1.5 point favorites. As I told Gil, I will continue to try to do these updates during the show because I'm betting these a lot during the show. I was betting them Friday during the show as news was coming down. And then, yeah, made the Packers play today. And an update on this, this is from Brian Batko, Steelers reporter, Steelers.com. Steelers quarterback Aaron Rodgers says he has not discussed with head coach Mike McCarthy whether he'll play Thursday night versus the Packers. Much like last year, he said it doesn't matter to him whether he does or doesn't. I don't know if you caught this while you were out, but we had McCarthy like saying like on the first day of camp, like early on in the camp, and he'd love to see Rodgers play 30 to 50 snaps in like multiple preseason games.
What the?
And Rodgers then kind of like laughed it off afterwards. So it was very confusing when that came down because Aaron Rodgers has not played a lot of preseason football over at least recently, over the course of his career.
Did he take a break from him talking politics to notice that McCarthy said that?
What an appearance. By the way, it was like, of course, that day on the show. Like right before that happened, I was like kind of defending the guy for the first time in years. Yeah. Dustin and I texted afterward. It was like, of course, on that day. So Packers taking a point there. 6 point teaser then for me. Colts up to 7.5. Chargers up to 7.5. That Colts number has moved. Titans, I am took 2.5. That number has moved. I believe they're laying that now against the 49ers on the road. And then Chiefs money line, which I still really like. This has moved a little bit, but not a ton. Well, I still see 1.5s out there, 2.5s mainly, though, on the board as they host the Rams.
I love how Aaron Rodgers' latest thing, did you catch this, when he's defending himself now against no one in particular, when he's on a rant, he goes, hey, I'm back with my, I'm in good stead with my family now. What are you going to say now? Like, what an accomplishment, Aaron. Well done.
I also don't know, like we've given the guy a lot of crap over the years. Like, would that... That was just an awkward situation.
We never mentioned that.
I was going to say that I never commented on.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure he heard a lot of that, right, from some secondhand sources and stuff like that. But yeah, dude, weird go-to defense.
Goo Ramirez, tell that lame-o, I'm not sure he's referring to, because there's several people, he couldn't hold Todd Wishnev's tennis bag, LOL. Wishnev is the man. Yes, he is. Mark Borchardt, base winner on the show earlier today. Mark is on the Blue Jays giving the 1.5 versus the Red Sox. That's plus 146 on the run line. And then the base winner parlay. Fez doesn't like it when he does this, but he's got one for us all the time. Diamondbacks Dodgers pays plus 120. D-backs Dodgers money line parlay. It was interesting that, and Mark said this correctly, like he's always pro Diamondbacks, and yet he doesn't love them at the current price to make the playoffs. Blue Jays, he does, though, at plus 550 to make the playoffs.
I must have been doing something during that brief bit of conversation because I was just going to add it. Mark has been bullish on the Diamondbacks the past couple seasons, and he has been very quiet about them this entire season.
Yeah, he has.
I mean, even like heading into the season, he wasn't really talking them up too much.
I thought he said something heading into, but yeah, he's been quiet since for sure. Drew Dinsick, he is... with some men's picks on the tennis side in Montreal tonight. Rafa Hodar versus, this actually might not be tonight. Have these started?
I'll check.
Yeah. Starts at 11 a.m. Pacific. Thank you, Danny. Rafa Hodar versus Artur Fis. He's going over 22.5 games. If I were to play that match, that's how I'd probably play it too, because I could not pick a winner here to save my life on that match. That's two great young players meeting up here for the second time in a short amount of time. And he's on Jakub Mencik, plus 115 versus the American Ben Shelton in one of the other quarters. And then coach of the year play from Drew, Jesse Minter, Baltimore Ravens, 10-1. Said he did great with, better than the sum of its parts with the LA Chargers defense.
Oh my gosh, two days in a row.
Joe Sheehan, that's one for me and one for you.
Yeah.
Joe Sheehan, Pirates today at the Marlins. Pirates at minus 112 at the Marlins. Yankees minus 124 versus the Mariners. The Athletics, first five, money line plus 140 versus the Rays. They won the first five against the Rays yesterday before getting destroyed. Brewers, minus 116 at the Padres. And then how about these? A couple futures. Tigers to win the AL Central, plus 410. Tigers to win the World Series, it's 70-1.
Oh.
Wow.
Dig it.
He's going hard on the Tigers. Harder than I did, even. And then we said this real briefly. We can touch on this in 20 seconds. But race to 40 home runs. You have two guys with 35, Yordan Alvarez and Kyle Schwarber. You have a few guys with 34, Junior Caminero, Hunter Goodman. But any other batter has Matt Olson in there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's not listed otherwise. Yeah, no, and he's at 34 at plus 950. There was some home run category where I mentioned Olson earlier in the year.
I think you mentioned him in the, like, race to 20.
Something like that.
By the way, Browns news real quick. Todd Monken said the unofficial depth chart will say Deshaun Watson or Shadur Sanders at quarterback one. He's not ready to name a starter for the Bears game.
Wow. Prop Points is next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.